Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It is 7:19 here. It's afternoon in Ukraine, where Joseph Lindsley is at the moment. Is the air alarm still sounding, Joe? Hello to you.
Bob, good afternoon to you. And no, it just stopped a few minutes ago. We've had several off and on throughout the afternoon due to reports of Russian fighter jet activity in Belarusian airspace to the north of Ukraine, and then also in the Sea of Azov and the Black Sea to the south of Ukraine. And these jets are the MiGs, which are able to carry the Kinzhal missile, which is incredibly fast. And so anytime these jets are moving around, it triggers air alarms throughout the country because there's very little, you have very little notice once a missile is fired. But at the moment, it looks like all of unoccupied Ukraine is now free of alarms. So it's peaceful at the moment.
What is the reaction there to President Zelensky coming to Washington and addressing Congress here?
It's sort of a surprise for everyone. So I think people are a bit. I think people are happy about it, but it's. As I was thinking about it, and I was very much surprised by it as well, and obviously for security reasons. I mean, you know, it's like as with all the world leaders that have traveled to Ukraine, all of those visits are incredibly secret for security reasons, and you know, you have to travel. You can't fly from Kyiv. You have to travel by train or car to get to the Polish border. Mm-hmm. It's a bit complicated. And it's interesting how just hours before President Zelensky, he's now in Washington and due to speak in to visit the White House and speak to the Congress tonight. But hours before he made that trip, he was at the extreme opposite, the extreme edge of the free world in the city of Bakhmut, which is under intense shelling. And I think that was probably intentional. It seems that knowing that he's the representative of the Ukrainian people going to make a case on the biggest stage he can make this case. He wanted to meet with those who are those who are at the extreme edge of this fight, those who see it every day, those who have seen the death, by meeting with those soldiers in Bakhmut. And it was similar right before he gave that video address to Congress. I think back in March, he also made a visit to the trenches. And I think it's a great sign of leadership that before you go and speak about, you know, the need for more weapons and more support, you meet with, the regular guys who are in the fight. And I think that is really a powerful thing. It's almost like when the Pope goes to pray before a shrine before some big event. That was why I think Zelensky went to Bakhmut. And so I think, you know, in this moment now, and as I look at some of the American reactions to President Zelensky going to Washington, obviously there's a lot of support, but many are skeptical in America of Ukraine, of Zelensky in particular. They tend to believe some of the Russian propaganda. And I was talking yesterday with Ukrainian friends about this, and I understand, you know, I know a lot of these Americans who are skeptical of all the money that's being spent here. You know, a lot of that money actually stays in America. It goes to American defense companies. But those who are skeptical are, you know, your average American is tired of, you know, 20 years of war in Iraq and Afghanistan, the high prices now, all the other difficulties of American life. And there's a deep skepticism of sort of this, you know, globalist corporate power players who, you know, push for war, it seems, and try to control our lives. And this was seen in the comments by Henry Kissinger, as we talked about a few days ago, former Secretary of State, 99 years old, still pontificating on how things should be. And when Henry Kissinger said, you know, the system needs to have a Russia. And so I understand the frustration of the Americans who are concerned at this sort of globalist control. But I think the question I would pose, if any of them are listening, as Zelensky is in Washington, is if you don't trust these people, why do you necessarily believe them when they say they are completely, you know, in favor of Ukraine? And I think this is a very difficult part of the story that gets lost. But in those, you know, when Russia took the Crimean Peninsula in 2014, the world didn't do very much to stop that. And in fact, Russia, you know, in those past 8-9 years, Russia has had an Olympics and a World Cup, even though they had taken Ukrainian territory. And so something different happened with the full-scale invasion in February. And I think really the key was the social media, that, you know, people could see the horrible things that were happening. And it was the American people, it was the European people, the British people, who forced their leaders to do something to support Ukraine. And so I think there's, you know, Ukraine is in the middle of this, but the thing to reiterate is that the Ukrainian people do not want to be defeated by Russia. They want to live in freedom. Russia is not a free country. Despite the propaganda of the Kremlin, which some Americans do believe, you know, Russia is not a nice place to live. You have no freedom of speech. And Ukraine is really sort of, you know, in some ways, even before February, I called Ukraine the Texas of Europe. It's really a radically free place. And this is why, you know, in 2014, they had that revolution. And that, as a friend of mine described it, the revolution is a check and balance, but in a ghost type of way. Mm-hmm. Because the people in the government here know that if they push the people too far, they could have a revolution. And so that's enough to sort of keep the power in the hands of the people. And we saw that during the pandemic. And, you know, it's a delicate thing to talk about, but Ukraine is one of the least vaccinated countries in the world. Many people here, the ones who are vaccinated, they have fake documents. And that's just how radically free and independent the Ukrainian people are. And so I think one reason why Zelensky, you know, there are many people in Congress who sort of believe some crazy rhetoric against him and the Ukrainians. And maybe that's why he's going to Washington, so he can meet people face to face, so they can see someone who has endured, you know, I mean, he put his life in the line to stay in Kyiv. And I think this personal meeting can maybe persuade some Americans who have been believing too much Russian propaganda and who've been skeptical of Ukraine.
President Biden is going to announce an additional $1.8 billion in security assistance to Ukraine during his visit. We will carry the presidential press conference on WGN Radio today at 3:30. President Zelensky will be carrying a Ukrainian flag signed by soldiers as a gift for President Biden and Congress. And Joseph, as a student of history, I know you've already thought about this, and you must be thinking about this a lot. Zelensky's arrival is going to draw some echoes of Winston Churchill's trip to Washington 81 years ago this Thursday, days after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, that visit cementing the alliance that would eventually win World War II and build the post-war democratic world.
Well, Bob, thank you for sharing that, because I did not realize that. And I think it's amazing timing, and maybe in a hopeful way, you know, we can be smarter than we were back in those days. And I think so far, you know, if you know, NATO nations and the United States continue to supply Ukraine, then Ukrainians will carry out the fight. And so it doesn't have to be such a huge disaster as World War II was. And one other historical thing to remember, that the 1994, there was a Budapest Memorandum, which was in part orchestrated by the United States, where Ukraine agreed to give up its nuclear weapons. And in return for that, there was a promise of several nations, including the U.S., to defend Ukraine no matter what. So the United States is obliged to do that. In fact, the father of the current Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken's father, was a U.S. diplomat who was part of arranging that at the time. And so there is even a legal reason for this. But I think that the main reason is, you know, think of Churchill and think of those who say if you appease tyrants, they're only going to take over more and more and more until they're stopped.
Mm. Joseph, I'll be off now until after the new year, and Wendy Snyder will talk to you tomorrow. I'll speak to you again January 3rd. So let me just say how much we all appreciate here your great reporting, your commentary, your insights, the pictures you paint of life there in Ukraine. And I can't say this enough. Peace and God bless you in the new year, Joseph.
Bob, thank you as well. Dusha Diakouy from Ukraine. And these conversations have not only helped me make sense of this time, since February, it's hard to believe it's been so long, and I feel I've grown and adapted so much through that. And I'm grateful to be on this journey with your audience and to share the things that I see and hear here. And so, Bob, I hope you have a restful holiday, and I look forward to talking to you in the new year. Maybe it'll be a brighter, calmer time.
We pray for that. Peace. Stay well. Be healthy. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Bob.